We're very delighted to welcome via telephone all the way from over there.
Over there.
In Muskoka, if you will. We have Peter Jennings with us. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Mike. How are you? Nice to hear from you.
Oh, it's lovely to have you along with us as well. We're delighted for you. I think you're going to have a wonderful reception when you come to the big meeting on November 5th. The folks at CARP Chapter 54, good bunch of people, and I think you'll have a great audience for your comments. It'd be great.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to it, Mike. I know it's their annual general meeting, and I am being I'm honored to be their keynote speaker. And yeah, I'm going to be speaking about the book that I've written called Shark Assault: An Amazing Story of Survival. And very much look forward to it on Sunday, November 5th.
It should be a good time. Now, Peter, you weren't always a novelist, an author. You had quite a career in business. And at what point did you develop this writing interest into something that became so fulsome?
Well, you know, Mike, I've written throughout my career. I mean, my business career, from which I retired in 2009, was in corporate communications, marketing, advertising, that sort of thing. And throughout my career, my favorite endeavor was always writing. I've always really enjoyed writing. But when I retired in 2009, I decided, you know what, it's time for me to write for me rather than for clients. And that's when I started writing books. And I've now had 3 books published, and I've got 3 more in the works. And now it's keeping me out of the pool halls and off the streets.
Obvious. Now, how did you come across the story of Shark Assault?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Nicole Moore, who is a nurse from Orangeville, Ontario, she's the lady I wrote about. She was doing a speech at a provost club in Alliston, and a friend of mine, Sharon, was in the audience. She heard Nicole's story, and she went up to her afterwards and said, you know, you got to write a book about this. This is amazing. And Nicole said, well, actually, a couple of other people have suggested that, but I really don't know anything about writing. I feel a little awkward writing about myself, and I happen to have dyslexia, which would make the whole thing awkward anyway, so I don't think so. And my redoubtable friend Sharon, who will never take no for an answer, said, hold on, I know a guy who's an author, that would be me, and I think the two of you would hit it off. Can I have him contacted, because I think he could help you? And she was somewhat reluctant, but she said, okay. And so on a very cold, wintry day in February, I drove down to Orangeville and essentially sat with her for an hour and said, if you want to go ahead, here's how I would see us working together. Here's how I would handle writing the book. And then I got up to leave, not knowing whether I would ever see or talk to this lady again. And she said, sit down. And I always do as I'm told. So I sat back down and she said, let's go ahead. And 3 years later, Shark Assault, An Amazing Story of Survival, was the result.
Isn't
my
that something?
Goodness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now,
and I'm honored, by the way, to have been chosen to write her story, because she is truly one of the most amazing people I've ever met. She is. She had stuff happen to her in her youth that most of us would not walk away from. And then she's attacked without warning, brutally, by the shark in Mexico. She almost lost her life, and yet she is today the most positive, outgoing, happy, indeed inspirational person I've ever met.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
When she was attacked by the shark, and obviously she went through a tremendous period of recuperation. Does she hate sharks today?
Yeah.
No. Interestingly enough, you see, sharks are being, there are over 100 million sharks being killed every year worldwide.
Wow.
For things like shark fin soup and in some parts of the world, fish and chips.
Yeah.
And the sharks can't reproduce fast enough. So amazingly, Nicole says, look, I was just a girl who was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I don't blame the shark at all. And so to this day, she is in favor of helping sharks And she says, I don't want one of the pets. I don't want to bring one home and have my bathtub or anything. But she is in favor of keeping the sharks and keeping them growing. So, no, she doesn't hate sharks at all. And you're right. I mean, she came so close to dying.
Yes.
After being attacked by the shark twice. I mean, she lost over 60% of her blood. That is a condition we as humans are not even meant to be able to resist. She had her left arm amputated. She almost lost her leg. I mean, it was really brutal.
Now,
but
Peter, I was wondering, how did she manage to survive with the amount of blood loss? And I always think, like in the movies, you know, if there's more blood, more sharks would come.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like what happened?
Well, fortunately, there were two guys on jet skis who had seen two sharks earlier in the day at the adjoining hotel. Now, this was very, very rare, but they got their people out of the water, but they never passed the message down the beach. And Nicole was literally just walking around waist deep cleaning the sand off her body because she was going to go scuba diving when she was attacked. By this one shark. Well, one of the guys on the jet skis, I mean, he kind of fought shock, but eventually realized that his efforts could mean the difference between losing a life and saving a life.
Right.
And he was able to grab her hand and pull her up onto the beach.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there, it's really interesting. It was her nursing background that kicked in because, well, I'll give you an example. Her left leg had been so badly destroyed that the hamstrings and quadriceps muscles had all been taken out. The shark had bitten literally right down to the femur, the largest bone of the body. And every time she breathed, a 12-inch spurt of blood went up in the air.
Oh my God. It
was unbelievable. But she was able to keep herself going, and she started telling people around her, you know, get a tourniquet, do this, do that.
Yeah.
And by her own admission, all she wanted to do was go to sleep.
Yes.
But
yes.
She also recognized from her nursing background, if she did go to sleep, that would be it. She didn't die.
So this was in relatively shallow water that this happened.
Yeah, she was walking waist deep in the water.
For goodness sake.
Hey, when I'm doing presentations on the book, I always ask people, how many people here have been struck by a bolt of lightning? Well, of course, nobody has.
Right.
And the fact is, here's the stat. You are more likely to be struck by a bolt of lightning than you are to be attacked by a shark. It's incredibly rare.
Yeah.
And there have been a whole bunch of things that combined to create this very unusual happening, which I'm familiar with now. But it was very, very rare.
Now, as Nicole started to tell you her story, did you find it was challenging dealing with all the raw information that you were being given?
Yeah, it really was. In fact, you know, I met her probably 10, 15 times, and then tons of other people, you know, who were with her on the trip, and doctors and nurses and stuff. But the first time I was with Nicole, I just, okay, tell me from your memory. And you have to understand, we're dealing with somebody who, at the time, was dealing with shock and trauma. So I said, tell me as best you can what you recall. Well, then the second time I said, okay, you're a mother. Tell me what was going through your mind. Third time I said, tell me now from a nursing perspective. And your question's very appropriate, Mike, because I started to hear, oh, my gosh, I am wearing this poor lady down. I'm getting her to tell the story again and again. And I apologized. I said, look, I'm sorry. She said, oh, hold it. I've had no PTSD. I have had no nightmares. I have dealt with this. I'm good to go. Ask me anything you want.
That's
and that was my get out of jail free card. You know,
yes.
That we could have a really good conversation, and I didn't have to worry about, you know, what I was putting her through.
One of the things I noted is that shark assault has really been successful in its own right. It's now into its second printing.
Yeah, we went into second printing within a month with the book coming out. Dundurn, our publisher, got right into the second printing. And, yes, it's doing very well. I'm booked well into 2018 with doing presentations at Probus clubs and Rotary clubs, libraries, bookstores. Lloyd Robertson, who you'll remember, of course, longest-living news anchor in television history.
Yeah.
Lloyd read the book and gave me a quote, "Riveting and inspirational, a compelling real-life story about the magnificent power of optimism."
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
Yeah, and we also had Reader's Digest, who ran a 4,000-word excerpt in 15 languages around the world.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's we've gained some real notoriety. I mean, her story is truly amazing.
Now, that's what I was going to ask you, Peter.
Yeah.
How did it affect you in hearing her story? Because, I mean, this woman is so positive.
Yeah. I am a better person for having written her story. I like you or anybody else, you have the odd day where you're feeling a little down in the dumps.
Mm-hmm.
And if I ever get that way, I stop and I think about Nicole Moore and I go, wow, I've got nothing to worry about. And it just kind of boots me on.
Yeah.
She truly is inspirational. And in fact, I encourage people, if they're interested in knowing more about her, if you go on sharkassault.com, there's a terrific interview that she did on TV, on TVO, and some other interviews. You know, you get a sense of who she is, but she's got a sense of humor. She's just a delightful person, and anybody who meets her walks away going, wow, am I ever inspired.
Wow.
Now, when you come to Halliburton on November 5th and do your presentation for CARP Chapter 54, what will you be presenting to people?
Well, I have a PowerPoint presentation that accompanies my speech, and essentially what I do is explain to the audience how I got involved writing the story, some of the challenges I faced along the way, some of the people I met along the way,
mm-hmm.
and then I typically will read either part of or all of the chapter, and then I open it up to question and answer, and that becomes quite interesting.
Now, how is Nicole's family dealt with everything she's gone through?
Well, she's got two daughters, and I think they've handled it well. They were literally attacked by the media. They were coming home from school one day, they got off the bus, they were walking up the driveway, and somebody from the media accosted them and wanted to know how their mother was doing. Their mother, was still in the hospital fighting for their life.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was not something that shows well on that part of our media. But anyway, the girls are doing fine. Her husband is a policeman, and like many cops, and I've known many in my time, he's a pretty private guy, so he's not thrilled about all the publicity that she gets, but she does public speaking for companies and that sort of thing, and she genuinely enjoys it. She enjoys meeting people and sharing what happened to her.
I'm sure it's therapeutic for her to do this sort of thing.
Yep.
I think it's a very good point, Mike. I think it is, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, everyone's looking forward to you coming over. I say over rather than up.
Good man.
Coming over from Muskoka to talk to us on November 5th. And I would urge people that are interested in attending that they make sure they contact CARP Chapter 54 and make sure they have a spot. A great story, quite amazing. And I'm sure for you as an author, this is a great moment to see the book so successful. Probably has you working on something new.
Indeed. I'd actually started another project before I began this book, and I went back to it after completion. It's now been published. It's called Why Being Happy Matters. I interviewed 37 people from around the world on the subject of happiness. And one of the books I'm working on right now that I'm very pumped about, and I'm down to my last two interviews, it's called Pushing the Boundaries. And I'm interviewing 32 people from around the world who kind of think outside the box, color outside the lines, take risks that, you know, most of us aren't prepared to take.
Okay.
And I've met some fascinating people. People like Nick Walenda, who walks across the Niagara Falls in the Grand Canyon on a tightrope.
Yeah.
I spent an afternoon with him in his place in Florida. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm very pumped about that book and hoping it will be published next year.
How wonderful for you. Well, that's absolutely marvelous.
Peter, you are bringing copies of the book with you for the Sunday. Yes, okay.
I am indeed. I will have copies for sale. I'll be happy to autograph them and at the fish hatchery on Sunday, November 5th. Very much looking forward to it.
Great.
Well, Peter, thanks for spending some time with us this afternoon. Congratulations on the success, and thank you for accepting their invitation. We'll look forward to seeing you on the 5th.
Wonderful, Mike. Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed talking with you both, and happiness to all of your listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Have a great day, Peter.
Okay, take
care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's author Peter Jennings, and Peter will be coming for CARP Chapter 54, their annual meeting, on November 5th over at the Fish Hatchery from 1 to 3 p.m. Sounds fascinating, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh.